Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Again, you are now in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show with your host, Brother James Brown Jr. And we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And especially for the new listeners on tonight, because this ministry is growing, and I give God the glory for it. Because it's not anything that I've done, but it's all because of God. He is doing this, and he's been glorified through this worldwide platform and ministry. So I'm asking all listeners on tonight, especially for the first-time listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, so that you can follow along with the person of Deacon Maureen Cox as he gets ready to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. He always shares with us inspirational poems, which he's going to do first before he brings forth God's word on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please pray with me, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we know without a doubt that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you that you are not like man. You cannot lie, fail, nor change. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. Your eyes are in every place, seeking, and you're looking at the good and the bad. Heavenly Father, and we know that according to your word, that at the day of judgment, we all will stand before you and give an account for every deed done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. So we thank you, Lord, for who you are on tonight. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your sufficient grace towards me and my entire family. Deacon Murray Cox and his entire family and every faithful listener on tonight. And Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Now, Lord, we pray that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions on tonight, that you would be able to move by your Spirit, Heavenly Father, in each one of us, that your will be done in us, that you would be glorified. So now, Lord, we standing on your word. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. And we know that you will forgive us. And only forgiveness has come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works today. It's still working even right now. So now, Lord, we come lifting up all those that have been affected by the coronavirus. I lift up my youngest sister who's in the hospital right now. She's been affected by it. And we're claiming healing for her right now in the name of Jesus. And also her pastor's wife, Pastor Kenneth Harris, Detroit Bible Tabernacle Church on the east side of Detroit. His wife, Sister Ruthie Harris, is also in the hospital suffering with this virus. They finally put her on a ventilator today. But everyone that's dealing with this virus, Heavenly Father, all over the land, all those that have lost loved ones because of this virus, Heavenly Father, comfort and strengthen as only you can, not only those that have lost loved ones due to the virus, but those that have lost loved ones in any kind of way all over the land. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as only you can in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders. No matter what it looks like, you are still in control and you have the last word. So we thank you that you are who you are. You are the Most High God. You are our Creator. So we just bless your name on tonight. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would move by your Spirit on tonight over the airways through your word, through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. That should there be any listeners on tonight that are not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer, hope, and desire that something will be said. They will be able to open their own mouth and confess their sins. And they would ask Jesus Christ, your Son, to come into their hearts and forgive them of their sins. And he would save them. Not only them, but we look at our President, Heavenly Father, President Trump, and all those, Heavenly Father, that have rule over your people, that have hidden motives and agendas. You know who they are. So we know that you know that they are, if they're not saved in Jesus' name, we know that you know how to send your word even their way. They would also be able to open their own mouth, confess their sins and transgressions. And they, too, would come to know their God purpose, and they would know how to show love and compassion for all people all over the land. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray that, again, that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that souls will be saved on tonight, backsliders will come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for every listener. Continue to bless them as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's scripture proof of thought comes to us saying, we must keep our focus on God and his word. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. We, you and I, we must keep our focus on God and his word. As I said, Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth the word really shortly. So many people have been affected by this coronavirus, and the worst is still yet to come. But we know that God is still in control, and we know that God is still speaking to the whole world right now. And just as I said on Thursday night's show, I was watching the news, and they were talking about two authors that had book bestsellers on the bestsellers book list. And then they said the number one bestseller is the Bible. See, now people are running back to the Bible. People need to go back to their first love. God has a way of getting our attention. So I thank God for who he is, and he is still in control no matter what it looks like. We're going to continue to give him the glory, honor, and praise for who he is on tonight. So before we bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox with the word on tonight and his inspirational poem, we're going to continue to do what? We're going to continue to give God praise on tonight, and we're going to continue to pray one for another. Enjoy the music break, Pray For Me. This is a much-needed song for such a time as this. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be encouraging one another in the word of God. We need to be thanking. We want to also thank God for all those firemen and police officers, the doctors and nurses, EMS technical drivers, the EMS technicians and the drivers, all those that are working in the different stores, stocking the shelves, all those that are being a blessing to the body of Christ, even while this virus is going on. Continue to bless each one of them, Heavenly Father, and give them the strength that they need. Continue to encourage their hearts, Lord, and continue to let them know that you are in control and you are still watching over them as well. So right now we're going to pray for tonight. Pray for me. Again, we need to be praying one for another. The word of God says, you know, we should never cease to pray, for the prayers of the righteous avail much. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
It's an old song. from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, pray for me. Again, as I said earlier, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be checking in on one another. We need to be encouraging one another in the word of the Lord on tonight. So right now, we're going to give the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem. He's going to go directly into God's word. And I hope and pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to follow along as we go to God's word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now give the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you once again, Brother Brown. I thank the Lord. First, I thank the Lord, giving honor to him who is the head of my life, and to God the Father, and to Brother Brown and to all of my father's children. It's once again an extreme joy, but an awesome responsibility to bring forth God's word at a time like this. And I will go immediately into the poem. The Lord allowed me to put the pen to the paper today, and I know this not only applies to myself, but hopefully it should apply to everyone that is lifting up the name of the Lord in times like these. It's a fearful time. It's a scary time. It's an uncertain time, and we must take the time out to realize what's going on. Now, the poem that the Lord gave me to give to you, to share with you, is I Look to You. In times like these, when people seem so frantic, in times like these, when the whole world is in a panic, when there is no answer to simple questions, and I don't quite know what to do, I fall down on my knees, Lord, and I look to You. When hope has fled my thoughts to be replaced by doubt and fear, I will fear no evil because Thou art with me, because the Good Shepherd is always near. When the storm clouds pass over and my skies turn from gray to blue, I will give thanks for Your love and mercy because I look to You. When death pays a visit to this milk and honey land, when my logic and reason abandon me and I don't understand, when the attendance in Your service dwindle down to a faithful few, I will attend service in my heart because I trust You. When the government tells me at home you better stay, I know the solution to these dilemmas is only a prayer away. Don't kiss your kids, don't hug your wife. Do what we tell you to. Lord, to separate a family, I know it's not of You. For those who do not know You, please, people, please don't wait. Accept the Lord while you still can. Please don't hesitate. You told us about these calamities. Every word You said was true. You are the only one that can save us. That's why I look to You. Amen. Now, as I was saying, I know that it applies to all the Christians that's listening this evening. Now is a time to look to the Lord. And then so saying that, it's pertaining to our lesson also, that, and it's our lesson tonight, it's coming from Psalms number 121, and the answer to that is coming out of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, the 6th verse. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. So if you have a different Bible or different publication, it may read somewhat differently than what I'm reading, but it's still saying the same thing. Okay, I now read to you from Psalms 121, the entire. So I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Who will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He that keepeth Israel shall not slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, even forevermore. Now I read to you from Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, which is the answer to the second part of tonight's lesson, our topic. Ezekiel 33 and 6, it said, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I've just read unto you from the book of Psalms, the 121st. Entire, and from the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, verse number 6, And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may he edify our souls forever. Now our topic for tonight, look to the hills and nowhere else. So we're going to start with Ezekiel, and this is the reason why we should not look anywhere else. And that's because we have become dependent upon our government. And I'm not saying this to make a political statement. I'm not saying this to put nobody down. I'm not saying this to override our leaders or anything like that. I'm just saying it because it's true, because we're looking for help in the wrong places. We're looking for love in the wrong places. And the kind of help that we need right now, I guarantee you, those that's listening, is not the stimulus check that Mr. Mnuchin promised you, or that he promised us. Is not going to be enough to meet your financial needs, nor to meet your spiritual needs. And it reads, Ezekiel 33:6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and taken away people from among them, he is taken away, he that is taken away, and his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So those people that we have put in authority, those people that we trusted, those people that, those watchmen, okay, that we appointed to office that is supposed to watch out for us, those ones that knew in advance of the tenacity and the ferocity of this situation that we have, that we are going through right now, this situation that has affected just about everybody that's listening to me. It affects you financially. It's affected a family member. It's affected you emotionally. It's affected you spiritually. So it has, and it will, and we're going through right now a worldwide panic. Now, one of our senior political leaders, I heard him say the other day, and he's approaching 80, said that he has never in his lifetime seen anything like this. Most of us have not seen anything like this. If we were or we have, it's probably because we come from another planet. But this is the reason why those people, as I said, that's been in authority and that's in authority, they don't have the help that we need. They can't give us the help. They can't cure us. They can't ease our mind, because there's one contradiction coming after another. That's why we're going to go back to the first part of tonight's lesson. Look to the hills and nowhere else. And Ezekiel is telling us why we should look nowhere else. Because, as I was saying, our politicians, I'm not trying to make this political or anything like that, but God's word says, obey the laws of man as well as the law of God. So we must recognize what is being done. But I got a solution for you. We must, upon all terms, look to the hills. Now, the 121 Psalms, they call that a soldier's psalm, because it's pertaining to King David, who was on the battlefield. And we know that on the battlefield, the enemy uses all types of unsavory tactics to subdue, to overthrow, to win his battle. He cares nothing about the tactics that they use. Now, according to the Geneva Convention, certain things that should not be done in war. And a few years back, they were arguing about waterboarding and torture and everything, but an enemy. I mean, can you imagine a war, which is we have done to a certain degree with humane rules. But I'm telling you right now, that demon does not play by anybody's set of rules. If he can use your mother, he would use your mother. If he could use your father, he would use your father. If he could use your brother, your sister, your baby, anybody that he can use. If he could use germs, if he could use a virus, if he could use doubt, whatever weapon is available. You know how some people say, you don't fight fair. You know, I want to fight you fair. There's no such thing, as far as Satan is concerned, as a fair fight. Why? Because when he goes up against God, he's going to always be at a disadvantage. So, as I was saying, the Book of Psalms 121, entire 8 verses, is a psalm of a soldier. It's a psalm of an individual who was uncertain. Now, can you imagine a mighty king with a whole many, many battalions of soldiers who have promised and took an oath to protect him and to protect the land and to subdue the land? Could you imagine the uncertainty of a king who would make a statement like that? Either uncertain or what else? Or either it's trust. But I'm going to say that it's trust, because we all need, in times like these, we all need some encouragement. We all need to eliminate the fear that is gripping our land, the fear that is keeping us home, the fear that will, that has made us lose our jobs, lose our livelihood, lose our sense of being, to put that seed of doubt in our mind and in our heart. Lord, I know some of you asked, and some of you probably have made a statement, this looks like the end right here. You know, I better get my affairs in order. But, okay, we're going to start off with verse number 1. It says, I will look up to the hills, which cometh my help. Okay? Now, I want to remind you that the Bible, I'm going to call the Bible, it's been called many things, but I'm going to call it, you know, the last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. But leading up to that, I'm going to say that the Bible, to me, is a book of recommendations. The reason why I say that is because God will not force himself upon you. The Lord will not force himself on you. He will tell you what is right. He will put it to you so plain that, but it's always an option there. He says in his word that the wages of sin is what? Is death. So if I want to work myself to death, if I want to work to death, that's up to me. Because obedience is what's necessary and what's needed now more so than anything. You have to, in order to be obedient, guess what? You must have a willing heart. But see, this traveler here, he looked to the hills from which cometh his help, because he knows that the Lord normally, God normally dwells in an elevated place. He knows that the shepherd or the flock, that the shepherd rests upon a hilltop. And it's a strategic reason for that. And that's because if you're on a hilltop, then you have a vantage point that you can see everything that is around you, everything that is approaching you. The wolves won't have a chance to sneak in to the crowd and steal one of your sheep. He knows that he not only looks to the hills, but he looks beyond the hills. He said, who made heaven and earth. Verse number 2 or 3, it says, so King David is looking not only to the hills, but he's looking beyond the hills to the Creator that made the hills. I would say, okay, well, it's help up in the hills, but it's more than that up in the hills. The Most High is up in the hills. If you notice when you go to church that your preacher, your elder, whoever the speaker is for the day, they speak from what? An altar. An altar is an elevated place. They preach from an elevated place. When Moses came down from the mountain communing with God, there's another high place. So it's safe. Not the penthouse now, no, don't get me wrong, I gotta go a little bit higher than that. But in my point of view, the Most High, he dwells in the highest places. And so he said, I will look to the hills, because he know, because he, one thing about it is that your vantage point of the hills, even from a distance, they stand out. Even from a distance, you know that your sojourn will soon be over once you reach those mountains. You know that. And the hills, it also represents something else. It represents ascension. Because you want to climb that mountain, what you got to do? You got to come up a little bit higher. You got to escape from your lowly ways. So King David here was telling us, look to the hills. My brothers and my sisters, this evening, I'm telling you also to look to the hills from which comes your help. That's the only place where your help is coming from. It's not coming from Washington. It's not coming through Social Security or the IRS. Because right now we're going to have to borrow money to pay back that money that they promised us. And in certain parts of the country, what they have promised to give, that's just a down payment on a down payment. So we have to be careful. Say, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Okay. We're going to stop right there. What the Word is telling us tonight, if you got immovable feet, it's telling you one thing, and that is, my brother and my sister, for you, yeah, I'm talking to you, for you to stand firm in the Lord. For you not to allow only where your feet should be moved. It shouldn't be moved in retreat, but your feet should be moved in progress for the Lord. Because he don't want you to stay in the same place, but stand firm, because why? Your feet is the foundation to your body. And if you don't have a strong foundation, if you don't not able to cover the ground that you walk on, it's going to be a detriment unto you. It's going to prevent you from moving forward. Okay, now he wants us to do what? He wants us to stand firm in the Lord. He wants us to stand firm in liberty. He wants us to stand firm in all the things in our godly ways. So, if I were to summarize it, the Word tonight is telling us, don't yield, don't back up, don't digress momentarily as we sometimes do. So you keep on moving forward in the name of the Lord. He will not suffer. So in other words, nobody should be able to knock you off your foundation. If you notice, even in the animal kingdom, when a predator's out there and they viciously attack something, it does not totally submit until that thing is completely off of their feet. They have to knock that elephant. They got to knock whatever they prey is at that particular time off of their feet, because as long as you're on your feet, even when we go to different sports arenas and the pugilists, they're in there applying their craft, they're in their boxing, trying to render each other unconscious. Now, it's a good fight until what? Until one of them get knocked off of their feet. And then the other one is going to overpower. So God is letting us know that we have to stand firm in all of these things. We have to be able to do what it is that God has had us to do. We got to be able to continue forward, but not in retreat. And that's why the Psalms is saying he will not suffer. And to suffer means he will not allow. See, sometimes we get our Bible lingo confused. We say, well, suffer, well, you know, that's kind of like a contradiction right there. But if we understand what the Bible is telling each and every last one of us, we know that God will not allow that. He will not allow it. But last week, when we talked about distractions and everything, and we talked about how Peter was got an invitation, and he got the authority to walk on the water, to come to the Lord. But see, Peter undid everything by allowing himself to be distracted. But we should not allow ourselves to become distracted. And also, while I'm thinking about it, see, this is a new year. And I don't know whether you have thought about it or not, but this year is a year, and the lessons that we have brought forth this year, all of them have pertained to vision. All of them have pertained to looking, to seeing, to recognizing. And the lesson tonight, I will look to the hills. Last week's lesson was, what's stopping you from seeing the Lord? But I just want to quiz you right fast. If these things are so, if this is the year 2020, I thought 2020 is supposed to be perfect vision. We're supposed to have 2020. You know, I want to apply that. I want you to apply it also. We're supposed to have 2020 vision, spiritual vision in the Lord. I'm supposed to be able to see things for what they are and not how or what I think they should be, because we're allowing ourselves to be deceived by what our visual. Samson, King David, Eve, all of these people had some type of visual thing that distracted them from the Lord. But we're going to get back to the lesson. I don't dare get off track, not even for a second. But he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. Wait a minute now. So the Lord is backing me up. The Lord has encouraged me. I like that. He's telling me to proceed. He's giving me the authorization to do what? To advance. To advance in him. Because there was a saying a long time ago, if the mountain can't come to Muhammad, then Muhammad got to go to the mountain. But see, we got to keep on moving, because it's going to require some effort on our part. It's going to require that we continue on in the name of the Lord. So we say, I'm bouncing around here, but it said, from which cometh my help? See, it'll say, Washington can't give us the kind of help that we need. Can't give us. Washington can't heal us. It can't heal our soul. It can't heal our pockets. It can't heal our peace of mind. Because as long as the uncertainty of that virus is out there, we're going to worry. We're going to worry about our friends. We're going to worry about our neighbors. We're going to worry about our loved ones. So help, it brings us comfort. It says, verse 3 and 4 say, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber, and he will not sleep. He who keeps Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. Now, the Lord brought to my attention, and it's kind of funny when you think about it. I wouldn't want a Lord that takes coffee breaks, that takes naps, takes vacations. Now that, you know, if there's someone you need in the most, well, you know, Lord, hey, you know, can you think about this? His answer machine, well, you know, I'm doing such and such a thing, I'll get back to you as soon as I get back. No, this is an on time and an all time God. And to reinforce what I'm saying, back in, I think it's 2 Kings, 1 Kings, one of those, when Elijah, he made mockery of those idol worshippers, God. And he said, yo, you know, when the God didn't respond to what they were trying to do, he made mockery of them. He said, your God must be asleep. Must awaken him. So I want you to think about that. You say, your God must be sleeping. I mean, would that not be an insult to somebody who says that their God is almighty, but he gets tired? He's taking a siesta? Something is definitely wrong with that picture. So it said that he would neither slumber nor sleep, not even take a nap. And say, we know that slumber, when you go into deep slumber, hey, the earth could move, and you could have an earthquake. Have you ever gotten to one of those deep, deep, deep sleeps? And then you wake up and they say, well, hey, you know why you were asleep? You know, all hell broke loose. This happened, you say, what? You know, it was thunder and lightning out there, and wow, it really was terrible out there. Well, if you want to identify with somebody, look at Jonah. How the waves and everything was rocking the boat. And this brother was down in the belly of the ship, sleeping like a baby. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine God getting into a deep sleep? I can't imagine it. I don't even want to try to imagine it. And nobody could wake him and say, it's an emergency over here on Mayfield. It's an emergency over there where you live. It's a mercy out there in California. And he will not respond to it, so he they keep it. And see, that's the thing about it. So when you keep something or something is kept, then it's protected and it's preserved. And when it's protected and it's preserved, then it's nothing nobody, it's there for a long time. And so we know that salt is a preservative. You know that they put salt on meat to preserve that. Now just think, if God just sprinkled a little bit of salt on you to preserve you, to keep you going for a little bit longer, to keep you from decomposing, to keep you from rotting out on the vine. So we have to be mindful of these things. He said he would not slumber nor he would sleep. He won't let your feet be moved, because the feet are your foundation. Your feet is what take more punishment than any other part of your body. Your feet take a pounding. So we're going to move right along and say we've got to stand in grace. That's Romans 5th chapter, 2nd verse. Got to stand in the gospel. That's 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, the first verse. We got to stand in courage and strength. That's 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, 13th verse. Need to stand in faith. 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, 24th verse. Stand in Christian liberty. That's Galatians. Stand in unity. And most of all, we got to stand in the Lord, which is Philippians, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse. And while we're standing, we have to advance. The Lord don't want us to just be at a standstill. And something I want to deviate just for 1 minute. The reason why, well, I'm not going to say, but one of the reasons why I say that this situation is affecting so many people, and that's because we're on the battlefield half-naked. And the reason I say we're on the battlefield half-naked, because one of the most important things of our armor is that we out there on the battlefield, and guess what? We left our helmet of salvation at home. Now, if you could imagine a policeman, a riot policeman, with his baton, with his shield, with his mace, with his boots, and everything. Could you imagine? Oh, yeah, in his helmet, we're going to imagine him without the helmet. He becomes susceptible to the germs. He becomes susceptible to his own tear gas. But the helmets now, they have what? A face mask on it. So if we could just put on our helmet of salvation, I do believe it protects the head. It keeps the germs and the smoke out of our nose and out of our lungs. So you just think about that. Next time you're out there on the battlefield, which is the world right now, you make sure that you put on the whole armor, because other than that, you would be out there on the battlefield half naked. And so, okay, we're going to move right along. We're going to get to the end of this soon. It said, he who keeps you will not slumber. So God ain't going to go to sleep on the job when it comes down to you. I know when I was a child, it seems like when I went to sleep, my dad was woke. And when I woke up, he was woke. I never seen that man take a nap or take a nod. And you know what? What happens when I seen this? I didn't put it together a long time after that. But it gave me confidence that if I wake up in the middle of the night, he's there. He's watching over me. He's going to give me the comfort, the love, the security that I need. He's not going to shut it down at a certain time. Okay? We're going to move right along. They say he cares for us. Say, the sun shall not smite me by day nor the moon by night. Now, back in the days, we know that the sun was very brutal. We know that the sun, even now, the sun is brutal. The ultraviolet rays and everything, you got to put on your sunscreen when you go out there, because the sun will give you skin cancer. You know, we're going to have to accelerate here. The sun might be by day and on the moon by night. It said the Lord is your keeper. He's your shade on your right hand. Now, that's a good one right there. We know that the shade, and it was kind of hard for me to put that together, but see, that shade from that sun offers you comfort and relief. On a hot summer day, you're not going to be out there in the pavement. You're going to go right up under that shade tree. And Psalms 91:1 tells us about that. Say, he that, and I'm just paraphrasing then. Now, he said, he who dwells in the Most High will be up under the shade. No, but don't say shade. It says the shadow of the Almighty. But could you imagine being in God's shadow? So you'd be up under his shadow, the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know about you, but that's a wonderful place to be. That's the place that I want to be on one of those hot days, one of those hot, dehydrating days where it just seems like the heat is coming from above and it's also coming out the ground. So we have to look to the hills and nowhere else. I can't speak for you, but that's the only place that I know that my help is coming from. And see, they don't look nowhere else. And see, I don't want it to sound like an order. I don't want it to sound like you're being forced into something. But with the options that we have available, it's best to take heed to, as I say, the recommendation, the book of recommendations. Now, that's just me. I mean, that's just what the Lord gave me to work with, because all through the Bible, it's saying somewhere along the line, or saying to you, saying to me, you'd have tried everything else. Have you tried Jesus? Have you considered Jesus? Because he's the most sensible and the best alternative that the world got. And then the poem said that, Lord, you're the only one. I'm not using the poem as a Bible, but that's what the Lord gave me. Said, you're the only one that can save us. That's why I look to you, because then nobody else can do my poor soul any good but thee and thee alone. So, my brothers and my sisters, we have to be mindful. And see, people were superstitious about the moon. Say, sun shall not smite me by day, and it won't burn me up. It won't give me no illness or nothing like that on the moon by night, because back, you know, it was a lot of superstitious people concerning the moon, because they didn't know the purpose of the moon. But see, they said that the sun and the moon and the stars are the lesser light. So it will always have been a mystery concerning the moon. People have associated the moon with love. They associated the moon with how the tide on the ocean is and the position in the sky. We have a lunar eclipse, and we have a solar eclipse. We know that the moon at night, even though it's the brightest thing in the sky, we don't use the moon as a navigation point. We use that North Star. So there's a lot of superstitious people about that. Now, as I say, I don't know about you, but in times like these, it's best, upon all circumstances, to look to the hills. As I say, it was a gentleman. I know that you're probably familiar with this gentleman. I'm going to just make a quote that this gentleman made, and you tell me what you think about it. Or, I can't read your thought, but, you know, just ponder within yourself. Say, so much things going on, this, that, and other, and so forth and on, and only I alone can fix it. But see, we're going back to Ezekiel 33:6, where it said that if you know something is coming and you do not warn the people, they may die in their iniquity, but guess what? It's not going to be charged to them. It's going to be charged to you. Their blood, I require their blood at your hands. So don't y'all worry about Washington. Don't y'all worry about anything like that, because, as I say, my help, my soul salvation, all of these things is not coming from a geographical location on the East Coast of the United States. No. If I think that, my help is not coming from there. It's not coming from the IRS in Cincinnati or down in Georgia or in Kansas City. It's not coming from none of those places. It's coming where? From the hills. It's coming from the Lord. It's coming from high above. And if you know, like I know, and if you look to the Lord the way that I know, I'm not going to guess, but the way that I know you do, because now he have our full attention. And now that he have our attention, it's time to adhere to what it is that he's saying. I will look. That's just a recommendation. That's just, you know, that makes it real personal, real, real personal when you say that you will do something, because will is a certainty. You have made a promise unto yourself as well as to God. So I will look to the hills. So it's time for us to divert, as Brother Brown was saying, see, it's time for us to divert our attention back unto the Lord, because he has our attention, and he's the only one that could do our poor souls any good. Amen. I'd like to now turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown. Hope that there was a thought that was completed tonight. You know, I'm just a busboy. I'm just a waiter. So, you know, I served you, and it's up to you. So, God bless you, and may ever keep you. And thank you so much, everybody, for the privilege of your time, for listening to what this weak voice is saying. Amen. Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Deacon Mary Cox. Thank you for that poem, I Look to You, the poem that you read to us first. I Look to You. And then thank you for the word that you, a much needed word for such a time as this. So right now, as we're ready to close out for today, we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners if you would please pray with me at this time as we get ready to close out for tonight. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because we, again, know that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we see on the news, no matter how we feel. We know that you are in total control, and we thank you for your word that lets us know that you don't slumber and you don't sleep, and all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. So we bless your name on tonight because you're truly worthy to be praised. Now, Heavenly Father, we again continue to lift up all those that have been affected by this virus, all those that have lost loved ones due to this virus. Many people are dying daily around the world because of this virus. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that even through this, you are still able to comfort and strengthen your people, not only those that have lost loved ones due to the virus, but those that have lost loved ones for any other reason all over the land. Comfort and strengthen, Heavenly Father, as only you can in the name of Jesus. And we continue to lift up my sister, Donetta, Bernie, to you on tonight, Heavenly Father, knowing that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders, not only on her behalf, but every believer in Jesus Christ that are being doers of your word, who are truly being assets to your kingdom here on earth, Heavenly Father. Even though they have maybe been stricken with this virus, we know that you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders, and they will rise up from their bed, and they will have a greater testimony. There will be glory, even more glory for them, each one of them, even after this, that you will be glorified even more. So we just bless your name on tonight. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your sufficient grace. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that still works, and we know that it will never lose its power. So we just thank you again for who you are. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in each one of us, your believers, your doers of your word all over the land. Continue to bless each listener, everyone that tunes in faithfully to this ministry, to this worldwide platform. Continue to bless them. Cover their families, Lord. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Well, that's the word for tonight. I pray that you have been blessed by the word on tonight, and I pray that you. So we're going to close out with "Cover Me, Lord." Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me. With thyself.